Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. There's no doubt that the Secret Service had a major failure on that Saturday when President Trump was shot. Many Secret Service agents and police on site did a great job that day. The problem, as I see it, was that no one was in overall charge of the site where Trump was speaking, and that someone should have been in the Secret Service. Any competent person in overall charge would have quickly seen the threat of someone being on that roof and have ordered it checked and secured before President Trump came out. But apparently no one was in charge. Why? Oh, and is this the same Secret Service that couldn't find who brought in the illegal drugs that they found in the White House a couple of years ago? It's an honor to welcome to the Frontlines of Freedom team, U.S. Law Shield. If you have weapons for defense of yourself and your family, and you need to use that weapon, you need legal defense. U.S. Law Shield is the team my wife and I use. Okay, joining me at the 50-caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Washington seems sort of a mess, doesn't it, Skip?
Yeah, Colonel. And Washington, D.C., it's always a mess. It's just sometimes more extreme than others, you know. But it reminds me of that military-originated acronym called FUBAR. I'm not going to define it. I think everybody knows what it means. But it just seems like Washington, D.C. is more FUBAR than it normally is.
Well, given that President Biden has decided not to run and is now being pressured perhaps to drop out of the presidency now, oh my gosh, that's a huge change, isn't it?
Well, and who knows what's going to happen? There's all kinds of meetings going on behind the scenes, and it's changing moment by moment. So it's really hard to keep up with it, Colonel.
Indeed it is. Okay, folks, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the hate-filled campaigning that likely led to the assassination attempt. Warning, this will get a bit political. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will share his warrant wisdom, and we'll hear from former Space Force Lieutenant Colonel Matt Lohmeyer. Then Greg Whitestone from the CO2 Coalition will discuss the threat of climate change, or no threat, and Diane Raver will present the movie of the month.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Okay, now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel. First, the news. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, President Joe Biden said Sunday he is ending his bid for re-election amid intense pressure from Democratic leaders, sounding the alarm that his path to beat former President Trump in November had vanished. The president's historic withdrawal throws the 2024 race, already roiled by a shocking attempt on Trump's life, into uncertain territory, with Vice President Kamala Harris widely seen as the Democrat most likely to take Biden's place atop the party's ticket. Biden made the announcement from his home in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, where he's self-isolated since testing positive for COVID-19 Thursday night.
His team kept saying he was physically and mentally fit and was running for re-election until he announced that he wasn't.
And Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle resigned this past Tuesday amid bipartisan outrage over her agency's failure to stop a 20-year-old gunman from opening fire on former President Trump during a campaign rally. Cheadle's departure came after a blistering congressional hearing in which she offered minimal new information about the assassination attempt, which marked the Secret Service's most stunning failure since President Ronald Reagan was shot in 1981.
There clearly was no one in overall charge of the site and no single way of communicating. This was a total leadership failure.
And the New York Times released a new report on Hamas' extensive use of civilians as human shields in Gaza. Quote, they hide under residential neighborhoods, storing their weapons in miles of tunnels and in houses, mosques, sofas, even a child's bedroom, blurring the boundary between civilians and combatants. Dressing its fighters as civilians, Hamas hides among the few civilians who decided to remain in their neighborhoods despite Israeli orders to evacuate because of a coming attack. Or they accompanied civilians as they returned to areas that the Israelis had captured and then abandoned. A recent example of Hamas's cynical strategy is that Hamas was using a United Nations building in northern Gaza as its recruitment headquarters in the area, including for recruiting new fighters, drone makers, and bomb builders. In other words, Hamas used a UN facility where all civilians would need to come to receive food as a lure for recruiting new terrorists.
This is exactly what evil terrorists do. They have no intent of behaving honorably. They love letting civilians get killed and then blaming Israel. It's clear that Hamas is dragging out the war as long as possible, even at the expense of more civilian deaths and destruction, and the UN isn't stopping them.
And as reported July 9 by Military Times, a Microsoft-based Veterans Affairs account was accessed in January by Russian hackers, but no personal information or other data was compromised, an agency official confirmed. Microsoft Azure Government, which provides storage databases and other services to the VA and other government agencies. VA Press Secretary Terrence Hayes said that the server was breached for just 1 second, presumably to see if the credentials worked, by a group called Midnight Blizzard, or Nebolium, which has ties to the Russian government, according to Microsoft.
What a surprise! Russia is conducting war against us. It's just not a shooting war, at least not yet, but it's war, and we should treat it as such.
And our Navy announced it has exonerated 256 black sailors wrongfully convicted after the 1944 Port Chicago explosion, which killed 320 people and injured over 400, mostly black sailors. The disaster occurred when two ships exploded while loading ammunition for troops serving in World War II. Following the explosion, white officers received leave while black sailors were ordered to resume the dangerous work. Of 258 sailors who initially refused, 208 faced summary court-martial for disobeying orders despite returning to work, and 50 were charged with mutiny. The exoneration, announced on the explosion's 80th anniversary this month, comes after a Navy review found significant legal errors in the trials, including improper group prosecution and inadequate legal counsel. Two sailors had already been previously cleared. The incident, which led to the largest mutiny trial in our Navy's history, exposed racial discrimination in the military and contributed to the Navy's decision to desegregate its forces in 1946.
The decision is long overdue, but at least it has happened. Black soldiers, sailors, and Marines served honorably and well in our segregated military during World War II. One of the results of this was that our entire military was desegregated by President Truman in 1948, well ahead of desegregation in the rest of our nation.
And the Department of Veterans Affairs expects to be nearly $15 billion short of what is needed to pay for benefits and health care this year and next, in part because more veterans are using VA services than expected. An increase in benefits claims driven by the PACT Act could leave VA benefits accounts $2.9 billion short this year, and healthcare accounts could be $12 billion short next year because of higher than expected staffing and prescription drug costs, among other factors. The VA said it's working with the White House and Congress to address the shortfalls in a way that doesn't harm veterans. Quote, right now, due in large part to the PACT Act, VA is delivering more care and more benefits to more veterans than ever before, the VA said. These results are life-changing for veterans, their families, caregivers, and survivors, and VA will continue to push to make sure that they get the care and benefits they deserve. The VA warned of potential disruptions to benefits payments if there's insufficient funding by the end of the fiscal year, and the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee is blasting the department for mismanagement.
Why is this only being discovered now? Inflation is affecting all of us. While many VA centers deliver great care, many do not. At least a part of the problem is leadership. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CVAFrontlines.com. That's CVAFrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel. Then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with former Space Force Lieutenant Colonel Matt Lohmeyer. At ease, troops, take a break. In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, your front door is the number one preferred entry point for home invaders. On average, it takes 5 seconds to break down your solid steel security door. To prevent this, reinforce your door frame by doubling the 2x4s and by using longer, case-hardened screws to attach the hinges to the door frame. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
This is Colonel Lenny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going crazy and prices up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin. Check them out at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. 2 weeks ago, a foolish kid attempted to kill President Trump. I believe it was a touch from God that had Trump move so that he was only hit in the ear. One consequence of that assault was that both Presidents Trump and Biden called for a decrease in the emotional pressures in the current campaign. After all, what motivated this kid to want to kill President Trump? At the moment, it's unclear exactly why Crooks fired at Trump, killing and wounding others. Crooks was a registered Republican and a Democratic donor. However this mystery unravels, it surely didn't help matters that Crooks, like most Americans, heard Biden's team chant relentlessly that Donald Trump equals Adolf Hitler. Forgive me, folks, but this is going to get political. While President Biden has canceled his run for re-election, could the comments made by the Biden family during the week before the shooting have encouraged the shooter? President Biden called Trump a threat to our nation's security, and Mrs. Biden called him an evil person. We do know that the protest riot on January 6th is used to suggest that Trump was attempting to overthrow the government. But doesn't everyone know that President Trump had authorized the use of the National Guard for additional security during that protest event? Which would be a dumb thing to do if he was trying to take over the Capitol or the nation. Oh, and Speaker Nancy Pelosi decided not to use the National Guard. That's why there weren't enough police or others there to control the protest. So yes, it's definitely time to stop the emotionally based lies and stick to the facts. I sure hope this happens. Following the failed assassination attempt, ABC News anchor George Stephanopoulos stated that Trump and his supporters were a big part of the violent rhetoric in the country, and that many prominent GOP members made statements where they criticized the left for their extreme rhetoric. The host suggested that this is violent rhetoric that Trump and his supporters contributed to. Trump certainly made negative comments about the horrible things Mr. Biden has done to our nation, like the wide open southern borders or the horrible rise in prices and inflation or the way our military has gone to pot or how promotions throughout our government are now based on race and gender, not ability and performance. And he also mentioned Mr. Biden's obviously limited mental and physical capabilities. Biden had recently made the January 6, 2021 insurrection and Project 2025, a plan that Trump's disowned, that former officials had put together as a theoretical second term, as a cornerstone of his stump speech suggesting that Trump posed an existential threat to our democracy's foundation. Several years ago, Biden called the push for enhanced voter ID laws in Republican states, quote, the most serious test of our democracy since the Civil War, and he characterized it as a, quote, 21st century Jim Crow assault on voting rights. Back in September 2022, Biden proclaimed Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. He told Democrats, independents, and mainstream Republicans that MAGA Republicans were destroying American democracy. Of course, he gave no examples of anything anyone had done or said that would justify such hate-filled comments. And Biden's Justice Department and political allies have repeatedly indicted Donald Trump, hoping to take him out politically and maybe put him in prison, an unprecedented legal assault on a political opponent that really raises the emotional and real stakes level of 2024. Biden recently assailed Trump at a rally in Detroit as, quote, a threat to this nation, end quote, as his supporters chanted, lock him up. Again, no examples of how he is a threat. So it's a constant, deliberate attempt to keep fear and hatred of Trump at a fever pitch and portray fighting against him as a valid necessity. Who knows what, if any, effect this had on Trump's attempted assassin? But even Democrats feel as though things have gotten out of control. Here are a few more specifics. Trump was president for mere minutes when MSNBC's Chris Matthews denounced his inaugural address in divisive terms, saying that Trump's patriotic America First message had a Hitlerine background to it. Early in Trump's presidency, Susanna Taylor of Refuse Fascism suggested that Trump already had exceeded the evils of Hitler. Taylor said that Trump, quote, could arguably be worse than Hitler, end quote, adding, quote, he is more dangerous than Hitler ever could have been, end quote. On May 21st, Hillary Clinton called Trump Grifter Hitler. And the June 2024 cover of the New Republic featured an actual Nazi campaign poster with Hitler's face doctored to resemble Trump. Just below loomed the words American Fascism. This is sick, twisted, baseless, and potentially bloody. So if Trump equals Hitler, it's no shock that someone would decide that, quote, it's time to put Trump in a bullseye, unquote, as President Biden told donors. If reelected, Trump says he'll cut taxes more than Democrats like, he'll increase domestic energy more than the left wants, he'll close the southern border that they ripped open, and he'll kill race and gender obsession programs the Democrats love. There are a few things Trump said he will not do. Throw journalists behind barbed wire, toss Democrats into gas chambers, cremate teachers' union leaders, or invade Canada and Mexico to build a greater American Reich. And while I hope there won't, but if there is going to be some name-calling, let's stick to the facts. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Well, you may have heard that after 66 years, the Air Force is looking to finally bring back warrant officers to their ranks. But it's going to be a fierce competition for those first 60 slots. About 490 airmen across the active duty, reserve, and guard components applied to attend the Air Force Warrant Officer Training School, which will train 2 8-week-long classes of about 30 candidates each. The first class is scheduled to start in October of this year, and the second class in early 2025. The Air Force and Space Force are the only military services currently without warrant officers who fill technical rather than leadership functions in most of the other military branches. But today, the Air Force sees the reintroduction of warrant officers as a way to maintain an edge in two fast-moving technical fields, information technology and cybersecurity. Now, since there's only 60 slots available, the rejection rate for the 490 so applicants is going to be around 88% just to land a spot at the Warrant Officer Training School. Now, of the 490 applicants, about 57 were turned down right away for either not meeting eligibility requirements or having incomplete application packages. That still means that there's a remaining 433 applicants, which face a slightly better 86% rejection rate for a chance of landing a spot at the Warrant Officer School. It's going to be pretty competitive. Applicants had to be at the rank of staff sergeant and above, and at the age of at least 42 years or younger, with a minimum of 5 years time in service. Though the applicants could come from any career field, they had to meet a range of qualifications in cybersecurity and information technology. Now, future classes are planned to be announced each year, and it's unclear at this point how many warrant officers the Air Force hopes to train. However, there's been some planning documents that have shown that the pipeline could scale up to about 200 junior warrant officers and 50 senior warrant officers each year. You know, as a fellow warrant officer, it's good to see the Air Force finally coming back to bringing warrants into the service. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. You're great. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with former Space Force Colonel Matt Lohmeyer. Then we'll discuss the CO2 Coalition and some real facts. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50, then stand at ease.
Veterans have unique health care needs from their time in service. They deserve access to timely and quality care.
Concerned Veterans for America continues working to get veterans the care they have earned.
We were instrumental in getting the VA Mission Act signed into law, and we fight every day for more reforms that expand healthcare access and options for veterans everywhere.
Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's a real honor to welcome back to the show former Space Force Lieutenant Colonel Matt Lohmeyer. Our Army is now having many problems with the military barracks and housing. They're unsafe and contaminated and all that junk. Yet none of the leaders of those troops have taken any significant action to fix these horrible situations. That's what commanders are supposed to do, I think. Now, Matt, as a Space Force squadron commander, saw some extremely inappropriate stuff being pushed on his troops, and he fought back, and he paid the price. Welcome, brother. Thanks for joining us again.
I'm always happy to join you.
Matt, tell us your story. You graduated from the Air Force Academy, which means I get to pick on you a little bit. Then you flew for the Air Force, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. In a nutshell, I was actually recruited to play basketball at the Air Force Academy. And it was only once getting there that I learned to start taking my academic experience more seriously, not beforehand. And I did leave there, went on to fly jets, was a T-38 instructor pilot after pilot training. And following that, went to fly single seat F-15Cs. And had an interesting transition, bad word these days, I know, out of the fighter pilot cockpit into the space community, which was then pre-U.S. Space Force. And the Department of the Air Force was responsible for operating our nation's space-based architecture. And later, in 2019, under the Trump administration, was stood up as an independent branch of the military that we now know as Space Force. And so I had the opportunity both to fly jets for the Air Force, to do space-based missile warning for the Air Force Space Command, and then later again, command that same space-based missile warning operation within the Space Force.
Wow. That's really two extreme different things. Flying.
Right.
And defense. I take it you like both of them.
You know, I've had a number of people, when they've heard that I've been in the Space Force, ask me what space is like. These are, of course, people that don't pay very close attention to this stuff, and perhaps were learning that there was a Space Force for the very first time in their lives. And I do reflect on how different my jobs were. When you say you're a pilot in the Air Force, people understand you're up in the air doing operations. And that's the ambition of every young man who thinks about joining the Air Force someday. They think about flying jets. And when you think Space Force, I reflect on my time, and as critical to national security as that mission of space-based missile warning was, you do it sitting in a chair in a windowless room in a restricted area somewhere and don't see the light of day for many hours at a time. Very different work environment, done by an entirely different community, and yet absolutely critical to our nation's security, which is why I deemed it such a shame that sometimes, and now all too often, our leaders, or those we hope to be our leaders in senior defense roles, are misplacing their priorities or have other misplaced priorities foisted upon them by the administration.
You know, I don't understand why many of our leaders today tolerate, put up with, and seemingly support some of the junk that's coming down. And a big part of it, this is my summary, I'd like to critique my summary, they're more focused on being politically correct than being combat ready. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think it is fair. The reason I think many people tolerate nonsense is because, on the one hand, our military is taught to put up with or shut up in color and to be loyal to both the institution and to a chain of command, which is necessary, of course, as you're aware, in the military. But on the other hand, they're taught to tolerate things that, quite frankly, they shouldn't be. And part of that is the diversity and inclusion industry and initiatives. And we talk about these things like without defining them, they're all praiseworthy ambitions to be inclusive, for example, or to tolerate others, and not only to tolerate, but to celebrate others' lifestyles, worldviews, etc. And what's unfortunate is that there's a double standard applied to this inclusivity. We preach inclusivity all the time now, and yet have become far more intolerant of, let's say, a traditional Christian worldview, for example, and instead we castigate them and say that they're intolerant for not wanting to celebrate or to be inclusive of other radical minorities' views that seem to them to be rather political in nature, quite frankly. And so we've got a problem right now in the military where the diversity, equity, and inclusion, so-called, trainings that our troops are receiving do train our troops that you're to walk a certain party line and toe a certain party line. And if you don't, you better keep your mouth shut. Otherwise, you'll be labeled something terrible, whether it's racist or politically partisan, as I was, and I was fired from my command for alleged political partisanship, even though I wasn't politically partisan in the things that I wrote or said. But we're getting to a point, Denny, where I think it's been a number of years where people are experiencing this and being discouraged by it. And I think the balance is beginning to shift in another direction where enough people are beginning to speak up, both outside of the services and in uniform. And people are deciding, you know what, I need to have a bit more courage. I need to respectfully speak up and say I disagree with what I'm hearing. And as long as our troops are doing that, I think we stand a chance. Of course, we need a different leadership and a different administration, in my opinion. But we stand a chance at actually reversing course and pursuing a different path that might be more uniting.
Well, I sincerely hope that you're right. In your case, Matt, as I recollect, you tried to share your concerns with your chain of command, which is what we're supposed to do, hoping that they would see what you said and advocate it, and that didn't work. Do I remember right?
You do remember right, and I'll further share some detail on what happened briefly. I did share privately with my chain of command all the way to the top to a member of the Joint Chiefs on a phone conversation my concerns about political partisanship that was extremely divisive. And I specifically mentioned race scapegoating and stereotyping and activism. And privately, my chain of command agreed with me that it was an egregious problem that had to be stopped. Then, because it didn't stop, and because for whatever barriers were in the way, they seemed to be incapable of changing the course of things, I filed a formal written complaint about these things that ultimately was dismissed. They sat on it through the election season, unfortunately, this last presidential election. And I received a written response dismissing my complaint about these things the day after January 6th. And then I wrote a book, and boy, as soon as the book came out, within several days, I was fired from my command. It's clear in that book, although it has the essence of ethics, culture, politics, and it is not politically partisan. It's about the history of Marxist ideology and revolutions. And I say that if we continue to pursue critical race theory narratives of American history, we're going to continue to further divide our troops and not be able to retain our force, not be able to recruit people. And of course, much more than just critical race theory is occurring in the services. We've got all forms of activism that are now welcome and included and celebrated by the Defense Department. And I'll tell you, that's really discouraging to people. And so at the first, when I was giving feedback to a chain of command privately and they agreed with me, to the last, when I was very public and outspoken about what we were seeing, they quickly, probably out of fear, among other reasons, mostly out of fear, kicked me to the curb and said they had to distance themselves from me. And they did that by firing me and opening an investigation on me, which didn't turn up any evidence that I'd done anything illegal, unethical, or immoral.
Yes, I didn't know the whole story, but yes, that's very consistent. There's a lot more to talk about Matt and his story, and he's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, used to before I got into my 80s. But then take a break, but stay in the area. Matt and I will be right back.
Unexpected situations do happen. Our nationwide network of self-defense attorneys is always ready to defend you in a criminal and/or civil case. There are zero attorney's fees for covered events and no hourly limits, caps, or deductibles. That means no matter how high your attorney's fees are, they're all covered through your low monthly membership payment. Join US Law Shield today and receive immediate coverage, affordable, customizable membership options, and peace of mind.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at PatriotFoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off PatriotFoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with former Space Force Lieutenant Colonel Matt Lohmeyer. So, Matt, basically, you got trashed. I know that did happen. Nonetheless, you did write a book that just laid the facts out.
Sure.
And I think that book is worth talking about. Share a bit about it and how people could get a copy.
The name of the book is Irresistible Revolution. Deliberately titled, but the subtitle perhaps says more about the contents of the book, Marxism's Goal of Conquest and the Unmaking of the American Military. That subtitle alone probably caused senior leaders to be afraid of what the potential contents of the book were, and I was fired before, in my view, they could have even had their hands on the book, because it's a print-on-demand book. It was not available in brick-and-mortar stores, and within just a few days, as I mentioned, of publishing the book and making it publicly available, I had been fired for two reasons. Allegedly, being politically partisan while acting in an official capacity, which I deny to this day, and that was totally false. I never was politically partisan while acting in an official capacity. And the other reason for which I was relieved of my command was for publicly criticizing my chain of command, and I deny that as well. I never publicly criticized my chain of command while in uniform. And those reasons that they found to relieve me of my command are things that you're not allowed to do that are in the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And they had to pick from among options to fire me for cause. And so they selected those and informed me that they'd be opening an Inspector General's investigation to determine whether or not those allegations were in fact true. That's the way that Lieutenant General Stephen Whiting put it to me the time that I was fired. You know, you're fired for these reasons. Now we're going to investigate to see if those reasons are actually true. And it turns out they weren't true, and they never found me guilty of anything. But what I did write about in the book, again, wasn't politically partisan, but it is a history of Marxist thought. And it traces through the four sections of the Communist Manifesto written by Marx and Engels in 1848 at the behest of the Communist League. And then I trace a lineage of thought from the mid-19th century to the present day and tie it to any number of various forms of critical social justice activism that we see, whether it was the Black Lives Matter movement or other radical political movements, you know, the Antifa group. And I know that there are slightly different impulses behind all of these things, but I wanted to demonstrate that there is a linkage between Marxist thought, which caused so much violence in the last century, and the present day activism that we see that tends to want to upend society and the civil society and the ordered society. And I wanted to issue a warning, essentially, both to senior military leaders, but also to the American people, that we have to abandon this path of tolerating or celebrating this kind of activism, because it does divide people. And when people become divided like this through ideology, they inevitably become violent towards one another, which is the overarching reason I felt compelled to write the book.
And the more you teach us that our background is evil, the thoughts were evil, why would you want to risk your life to defend a country like that? I mean,
exactly. That's 100% right.
Everything about that is, one, not true, two, bad for our country, and three, horrible for our military.
And in fact,
it has to be fought.
Yeah, it has to be fought. And in fact, to your point, we've really been struggling for the past several years to attract talent, because these things that we're talking about, the diversity and inclusion initiatives, necessarily de-emphasize merit and merit-based selections and promotion, and they establish in their place race-based quotas, a willingness to pander to, I'm thinking specifically of gender ideology, gender dysphoria, various people's sexual identities, things that are historically and perhaps rightly so, even if now considered meanly so, are mentally sick or unfit in many respects. Those things not only are tolerated or we find a way to give you waivers and work with you, but they're celebrated. In fact, some of the poster children of the services, both in the Navy and in the Space Force right now, are transgenders, drag queens, and in the Space Force, a transgender colonel. And they get a pulpit now. I just watched another video of this yesterday, in fact, to try and abuse others into their way of thinking. And if you're not celebrating my lifestyle, it's because you're a bigot. And that's my words, but that's essentially exactly what was said by the Space Force colonel. I find that really unfortunate, not only for the American people and not only for the services, but for that human that has been propped up by military senior leaders as a poster child for this short season, because I suspect that in the years ahead, they'll look back on the way in which they were used for various purposes, and I think they'll regret it, quite frankly. And so not only does it hurt our ability to recruit and retain people, which is my biggest concern, I think it's also unfair to those who happen to be in a position of vulnerability and who do suffer mental sickness.
Very well said, Matt. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Matt Lohmeyer. Matt, you are now at STARS. Tell us about STARS and what you're doing there.
Lest I forget, I'll say the website first. It's stars.us, and STARS has two R's in it, STARRS.us. At the time that I was relieved of my command in the Space Force, there was a group of retired officers and largely Air Force Academy alumni, but there were some other branches represented there. They came and knocked on my door and had pre-coordinated this with my wife and wanted to come and thank me for speaking up and exhibiting courage. And they shared war stories and gave me coins, and we had a drink together. And that was my first introduction to the people who then shortly thereafter went on to establish this organization, STARS. It stands for Stand Together Against Racism and Radicalism in the Services. And it was a clever way of using the very words that the Defense Department claimed to care so very much about. And the organization is a nonprofit. It is interested in helping educate our service members and the American people more broadly of this threat of divisive Marxist critical race theory. And in my opinion, the website stars.us is probably the best one-stop shop online that has information and education on all things woke military culture. I mean, there are lots of good organizations doing great work and great people everywhere. There's great shows such as your own. But in my opinion, the website, go check out stars.us, you'll find literally hundreds of pages worth of actual anecdotal, to be sure, but actual eyewitness accounts and complaints from our service members about the trainings they're being subjected to, their concerns for where the service is headed. And you'll see just a tremendous load of good work that's being done largely on a volunteer basis at this organization by concerned veterans who have come out of retirement and who are trying to be actively engaged with the Congress, with various think tanks and organizations around the country, and directly involved with our troops. And we have a very active media presence. And I'm really hoping that now, as I come aboard the organization, we're going to continue to grow our level to another organization. And I'd say if you're interested in looking into it or supporting it, there's a free newsletter that we send out each week. Come onto the website and subscribe to that newsletter, and you'll start to see the amount of work that's being done by the organization. It's really phenomenal.
I believe that STARS is the point man, the leader for all of us who want to, one, get our military back to being combat ready, but two, to stop this biased attitude being forced on kids in schools and our military and everywhere else. They're leading the way. So I strongly encourage you to do as I do, which is support STARS, STARRS.US. And I'm delighted that Matt's working there because there is so much to do. Matt, final comment.
Here's my final comment, and it's directed specifically at those who might still wear the uniform of their country. And if you're listening and you don't wear the uniform of your country, but know someone that does, share this thought with them. Now more than ever before, we need those wearing the uniform to courageously, respectfully speak up, using their chain of command and sharing with their peers that they disagree with some of the political agenda that they see all about them, and that a lot of the trainings that they're being subjected to fly in the face of their own values. There's nothing illegal about sharing your view on these things and saying that you disagree with some of what you're hearing. And we need people to speak up. It can't just be outsiders, former service members, now veterans, who are speaking up on your behalf. And we will continue to do that. But if you wear the uniform of your country, have the courage to speak up, embrace this moment in history where you've got an opportunity to make a difference, and share with others your worldview. There are plenty of radical minorities, so to speak, and I don't mean racial minorities, I just mean radical minority activist groups, very actively sharing their view, and they're to be celebrated according to the way we do business in the Defense Department. But we also preach inclusivity. Take advantage of that and say, well, I'd like respectfully to demand that my worldview be considered and included as well, and it's that I disagree with what I'm hearing. And if we can get more people doing that, I think that we stand a good chance, especially, I hope, in the beginnings of a new administration, of really reshaping the culture once again in the United States military and reclaiming something that we had that always united us and made us the strongest military on earth.
Well said, brother. Thank you, Matt. Thank you for your great comments now. For your service to our nation in uniform, and now, I'm glad we're friends.
Thank you, Denny.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour shortly. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's time for pull-ups, troops. Do 40 good ones, then maybe another 20 push-ups, then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.